That last verse, verse 18, is the sermon text this evening. But we all, with open, unveiled face, beholding as in a glass, in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. What would you think, my dear fellow believers? What would you think of a mirror that when you looked into that mirror, it changed you? That would be quite a mirror, wouldn't it? You didn't like or don't like the color of your hair, so you look into that mirror and instead of being blonde, your hair is black. Or you don't like the fact that you're bald, and so you look into that mirror, and by looking into that mirror, you have a full head of hair once again. I think we would probably all want a mirror like that. And we have a mirror like that. That's the Word of God here in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. Only, it's a mirror that changes not our outward appearance. That doesn't really matter. Matters nothing at all to God. But we have a mirror that changes us spiritually. When we look into that mirror, we all, with open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So the subject this evening is spiritual transformation. And I used that word transformation instead of the word changed because that's one of the ways in which Scripture translates elsewhere the word that's used here. Spiritual transformation. We're going to talk about the way of that transformation, and we'll be focusing then on those words, we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. Then we're going to talk about the wonder of that transformation. And focus on that word changed and on that further description of the change that we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. And finally, I'm going to talk about the working of that change by the Spirit of the Lord. So first of all, then, that reference to a mirror, as it's called here in the King James Version, a glass. We still use that word in reference to a mirror when we talk about a mirror as a looking glass. But that's the reference here in the Word of God. What is that mirror? That transforming mirror. Do you know? That mirror is the Word of God. The Word of God as we have it in the Scriptures, as we read it in our own homes, but especially here, the Word of God preached. That's why if you read on into chapter 4, you find Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit, talking about the preaching, especially in the preaching of the Word, that mirror is held up to us. And by the way, that is the business of every minister of the gospel and his only business, to hold up that mirror. And he's just a mirror holder. And so are the elders, for that matter, when they bring the Word of God to us. Their business too is to hold that mirror of the Word in front of us. And that's why, because that mirror transforms us, that's why that mirror has to be there in our homes as well. Paul's referring especially to the preaching. But in family devotions, we hold up that mirror for ourselves and for our children, just like the minister does when he preaches the Word. And the same thing happens that's described here in our text. We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. But that mirror is a very strange mirror, too. Unlike any other mirror you've ever seen or looked into. Because, that's in the text, too, when you look into that mirror, what you see is the glory of the Lord. Now you see your own face too. The Word of God talks about that in James 1. We look into the mirror of the Word and we see there what we're really like. And James says, we mustn't go away either and forget what we see in that mirror of the Word of God. But here the emphasis is on the fact that we see not our own face only in that mirror, but, if I may put it that way, the face of Christ. That's just another way, of course, of saying that he is on every page of Scripture, and in every passage of Scripture. And that whenever we come to the Scriptures, we have to look for Christ. Christ as the revelation of the glory of God. When you see in the mirror of God's Word, the face of Christ, then you see the righteousness of God, the mercy of God, the loving kindness of God, all His glory. His glory as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, His glory as Creator of all things visible and invisible, His glory is the God of providence, apart from whose will no creature can move or breathe. But especially His glory as Savior, as the one who in eternity decreed and planned the salvation of His own out of an eternal love for them, and who has brought their salvation to pass in history by the sending and work of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what you see in that mirror. And of course, that has application too. That means that for the minister of the gospel, that he may preach nothing else but Christ. If Christ is not central to every sermon he preaches, then he's not doing his work as a minister. And that applies to elders and deacons too, and the work that they do. And it means for us as members of the church that we have to insist on that. We have to say over and over again to those who rule in the church, as well as to those who preach the gospel, what the Greeks said when they came to Jesus just before he was crucified: "Sir, we would see Jesus." In fact, last week when I was in our congregation in Crete, they had that on the pulpit, a little plaque that had that verse written on it as a reminder to the minister of his calling to preach nothing but Christ. Christ the eternal Son of God. Christ come in the flesh. Christ crucified, Christ risen again, Christ is the revelation of God's glory. Paul even says in the next chapter, 2 Corinthians 4, talking about his own calling as an apostle, "We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake." And then he goes on to explain why that's important when he says, "God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Christ only. Not what the minister thinks. Not current events, not opinions of his own or of others, not ungodly and worldly philosophy and psychology, but the Word of God and Christ as the center of everything in the Word of God. And that has to be, the minister holds up that mirror, that has to be what God's people see, the glory of the Lord, because that's what transforms us, changes us. And if you're like me, then you know how much we need to be changed. Even when you get to be 66 years old, you find that you still need to be changed. Your attitudes, your speech, everything still needs to be changed. And it's only the glory of the Lord. And Paul uses that name, Lord, deliberately. It's not just the glory of Christ as the Son of God that we have to see in that mirror, but the glory of Christ as the one who owns us. That's what the word Lord means. Owns us by the price of his own blood, who's purchased us out of the slavery of death and sin, and in that way made us his own, establishing forever his lordship over us. The one who claims by the price of his blood, my time, my words, my family, my possessions, everything I am, everything I have. And who says to me, whenever I come to the Word of God, it's mine, and it's mine by purchase. And you must live in recognition of that. That's what changes us. That vision of Christ in the gospel transforms us. That's the word I've used. But actually, and that shows us something of the wonder of this, the word that's used there is a word that's come from the Greek language into English. The word metamorphosis. Some of you children may recognize that word from your science classes in school. It's the word that we use to describe what happens when a little worm changes into one of the most beautiful and glorious of God's creatures, a butterfly. That's the word Paul uses here. It's only used four times in the New Testament. Twice to refer to the change, the glorious change that takes place in us when we look into this mirror, and twice to describe what the disciples witnessed on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus himself was changed. And the disciples saw in him, caught a glimpse there on the mountain of his heavenly glory and majesty. The glory that he would have when he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. That's the word that's used here. When this change is finished, in other words, we'll be changed from mere creatures of the earth who crawl, as it were, on the face of the ground, into the most beautiful of God's creatures. Changed by the glory of the Lord. Amazing, isn't it? And wonderful. But that's further, that change is further described in those words, into the same image. Looking into that mirror, I become like Christ. That's what the Word of God is saying. My speech is transformed so that it's seasoned with the grace of my Lord, and not the filthy speech of the world anymore. My whole way of thinking is changed, so that so that I don't believe everything the world says. Can't believe it anymore. About how the world came into existence. That all things just happen by chance. The blowing of the wind, the growing of the grass, just chance. I don't believe that anymore. Because even my thinking has been transformed by what I've seen in that mirror of the Word of God. And my life too. That change won't be finished, of course. That's here in the passage too, by the way. Until I go to heaven. But that change begins now. Through the mirror of God's Word. From glory to glory. It's almost as though Paul can't say enough about this change. First, using that word metamorphosis, we are metamorphosed by the glory of the Lord. And then by that further description of our being changed into the likeness of Christ Himself, so that when that work of change is finished, even my body is made like His glorious body. Paul says that in Philippians 2, you remember. But he adds to that from glory to glory. And he's referring to the fact that that change has begun in us already. I have in me, as a result of looking into that mirror, the glory that's really the glory of the Lord. I don't always see that very clearly myself. I look at myself and I see, most of the time, just a miserable sinner. And of course, the unbelieving world doesn't see that. Doesn't want to see it either. They look at me and they say, "You're no different from us. You call yourself a child of God? What gives? Who do you think you are? Better than us?" And we have, of course, an answer to that in the Word of God. "Doth not yet appear what we shall be," John says. But the fact of the matter is that the child of God has in him already the glory of the Lord. And he has that through the work of regeneration. I mentioned that this morning. But you understand that when you're born again, regenerated, what happens is that the life and glory of Christ Himself is transplanted into you. So that we're able to say, quoted that too this morning, "The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." That's the glory that we have now. But from that, to something even more glorious. That glory that will be ours when finally we're in heaven with Christ. When even these vile bodies, that's what Paul calls them in Philippians, even these vile bodies are changed into the likeness of His most glorious body. From this to that. From glory to glory. And then, of course, we'll see what, seeing ourselves, what we see in a kind of picture form. But we watch that transformation of a caterpillar into a butterfly. From glory to glory. But I want to emphasize the fact that whatever change it is I need in my life as husband, wife, father, mother, child, brother, sister, member of the church, individual who lives alone, whatever changes I need, whatever changes we need together, come only when in the preaching of the word, as well as the reading and study of the scriptures, we see the glory of the Lord. Only then. If I'm not behaving myself as husband or father, then the elders have to come to me and say, you must change. As a husband, you have to be like Christ. As a father, you have to be like our Heavenly Father. You must change. You cannot continue to behave like this. You can't do this. They have to say that. But that's not what changes me. That must. I have to hear it. Because I have to be held accountable before God Himself, from whom that must comes. And even if I don't listen. That must is going to stand against me in the judgment day. But that's not what changes me. The only thing that changes me, husband, wife, father, mother, whatever it is, or I'm falling short of my calling, it's only the glory of the Lord that changes me. And that's why if the elders have to come and talk to me, they have to make sure that they don't just say must, that they hold up in front of me that mirror, which reflects, strange mirror, reflects the glory of the Lord to me. As husband, the glory of Christ. As the husband and purchaser of His church. The one who loves His church with an unfailing and unchanging and faithful love. Or, if I'm a child who's not listening to my parents and obeying them, then the glory of Christ as God's child, whose confession was, I've come to do thy will, O my God. And always, always the glory of Christ crucified as the only sacrifice for sin. The glory of Christ risen again. And the one who makes intercession for me at God's right hand. That's the only thing that will change me. There's a lack of holiness in the church. And the minister has to come and say to God's people, you must be holy. Be ye holy. God says that to you as I am holy. But that won't change them. It's the glory of the Lord that changes. There's a lack of holiness in the church. It's to preach holiness. But what the congregation really needs is more Christ as the Holy Son of God. God's commandments are being broken. Then He has to bring to the congregation the demands of God's law and show them carefully what God requires. As to show them, for example, that those commandments which say, thou shalt not, also require something positive. Thou shalt have no other gods before me means have me as your God and no one and nothing beside me. Has to explain that to them. And he has to point out to them that God hates disobedience to his law. And apart from the work of Christ, punishes all disobedience with the everlasting torments of hell. But that must of the law doesn't change us. What the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Always, always more Christ. And that's why Paul says in the next chapter, we preach not ourselves. But if you want to sum up everything that I have ever preached, it's this, Christ Jesus, the Lord, crucified, risen again, enthroned at God's right hand. The one who, for the sake of His saving work, demands your all. And the one who by that same sacrifice has given you all things in Himself. We beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. But that doesn't happen automatically. That's why that last phrase is there in the verse, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And that's why Paul talks in the first part of the verse about we with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. He's referring back to what he's just talked about in the chapter, to the fact to the story of Moses and Israel at Mount Sinai. And to what happened when Moses came down from the mountain with the glory of God shining in his face. I'm sure you children remember that story. But the Israelites couldn't stand it. Moses had to put a veil over his face for as long as that glory lasted. Paul says, really, the veil wasn't on Moses' face, but it was on their hearts. The veil of unbelief was on their hearts. That has to be taken away before what we see in that mirror is of any profit to us. And it's the Spirit of God who takes away that veil from our hearts. Paul says the Israelites still have, when the Old Testament is read, they can't, won't see the glory of God in Jesus Christ in the Old Testament because they have that veil on their heart. But we, by the work of the Spirit, with open face, unveiled face, beholding in that mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed. That's the work of the Spirit. But it's the Spirit, too, you understand, who works that change. It's not really the mirror that changes us, but the Spirit of God, working by His almighty power in us as the Spirit of Christ. The one who knows Christ, who never speaks of anyone but Christ, who changes us into the image of Christ. He alone. So what does that all come down to for us? Well, it means, as I said, that you have to make sure that that mirror is often on the table in your own homes. But Paul is talking about the preaching of the word especially. And that means that you have to make sure that you put yourself faithfully, regularly, before that mirror. And it means too that you'll do that if you look at yourself and see how much you still need to be changed. That what we have, its glory indeed, is but a small beginning of the new obedience that's described in God's Word. So you put yourself as often as you possibly can in front of that mirror, trusting that what the Word of God says here is true. transformed by the glory of the Lord reflected in that mirror. Transformed from glory to glory. And of course, you never, ever come to the Scriptures without praying for the presence and power and work of the Spirit of God. Remembering those last words of 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And you do that all in hope, in the blessed hope, that though it does not yet appear what we shall be, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is, no longer through a glass darkly, but face to face. And then that transformation, that change will be complete. And you and I no longer in need of being changed. Be able to serve God and praise Him and honor Him without any weakness or sin forever and ever. God grant it. Amen. Almighty and eternal God, our Father who art in heaven, thank Thee for that mirror that is held up to us in the Word of God, in which we see the blessed face of our Redeemer, and seeing it, are changed into His likeness and image, to be holy as He is holy, to honor Thee in thought and word and deed as He did always, to know that Thou art our Father who loves us and who will never leave us or forsake us, and to look forward with the hope that soon we will be with Him and like Him, not only in soul and spirit, but even in body, forever. Forgive us for speaking so poorly and so inadequately and so sinfully of these things. Forgive us all our sins for His sake, and bless us as we go our separate ways once again, bringing each of us to our own place this evening and always, until finally we go to the place that Christ has prepared for us. In His name we pray. Amen.